We're going to begin with two different readings, as we normally do. The first one is a biblical reading from Ecclesiastes. I will be reading chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. The first part of this in particular you'll be very familiar with. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what was planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I've seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And now I want to read an excerpt from actually a teenage novel. John Green's coming-of-age novel entitled Paper Towns. I think there's a movie or TV show that was based off of this as well. This is coming from the young man whose coming-of-age story this is. The way I figure it, everyone gets a miracle. Like, I'll probably never get struck by lightning, or win the Nobel Prize, or become the dictator of a small nation off the Pacific Islands, or contract terminal ear cancer, or spontaneously combust. But if you consider all the unlikely things together, at least one of them will probably happen to each one of us. I could have seen it rain drops. I could have stepped a foot on Mars. I could have been eaten by a whale. I could have been married to the Queen of England or survived months at sea. My miracle was different. My miracle was this. Out of all the houses, in all the subdivisions, in all of Florida, I ended up living next door to Margot Roth Spiegelman.
Sarah McLachlan recorded this song for movie Charlotte Smith.
It's not that unusual when everything is beautiful. It's just another ordinary miracle today. The sky knows when it's time to snow. Don't need to teach a seed to grow. It's just another ordinary miracle today. Life is like a gift, they say, wrapped up for you every day. Open up and find a way to give some of your own. Isn't it remarkable that every time a raindrop falls, it's just another ordinary miracle today? Birds in winter have their fling. It always makes it home by spring. It's just another ordinary miracle today. When you wake up every day, please don't throw your dreams away. Hold them close to your heart, as we are all a part of the ordinary miracle. Do you want to see a miracle? It seems so exceptional that things just work out after all. It's just another ordinary miracle today. The sun comes up and shines so bright, but disappears again at night. It's just another ordinary miracle today.
If you haven't picked up on it, we might be talking about miracles today. My message is entitled Stories and Miracles. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that reports of bona fide miracles seem to have gone the way of dinosaurs about the time that the camera came along. Maybe doubly true since video cameras were invented. Of course, during the early days of Photoshop, we might have had a little revival of miracles. To the thinking person in an age of science, miracles like the ones that we read about in the Bible are just a difficult concept to buy into. It only takes a quick Google search to find an expert debunking what someone has claimed to be a true miracle. As a matter of fact, it's easier than that. Netflix has a show entitled Darren Brown Miracle. The thing is, Mr. Brown is an atheist, mentalist, illusionalist, pop philosopher, and debunker of scam artists and mediums. Throughout the show, he presents miracles that look very much like those one might have found at a tent revival from certain televangelists. He's actually remarkably skilled at replicating these miracles. Possibly the most intriguing section of the show is the faith healing that takes place. Brown fully takes on the persona of a faith healer and sets up a tent and invites people in. And he's in there shouting, "We give you the glory, we give you the praise, hallelujah." And he proceeds to heal people of what ails them, from vision problems to back problems. And for good measure, he even tosses in a palm to the person's forehead, and folks falling over backwards, just like you've probably seen on other television shows. The thing is, he thinks the whole thing is a bunch of hooey. Throughout the show, he talks about how we are constantly telling ourselves stories. And those stories, he says, impact what we can and cannot do. The full reality behind his miracle healing is, of course, much more complicated than that, including a tightening of a person's adrenaline as well as a few other traits. But the thing that struck me the most was the demonstration of how powerful the stories that people wanted to believe were, how powerful the stories we tell ourselves are. Bishop Spahn's last book, Unbelievable, Why Neither Ancient Creeds Nor Reformation Can Produce a Living Faith Today, is put together in a series of theses. And thesis number 5 is on miracles. He opens that section of the book saying this, quote, "In a post-Newtonian world, supernatural invasions of the natural order, performed by God or an incarnate Jesus, are simply not viable explanations of what actually happened. Miracles do not ever imply magic. Considering that a typical Christian would probably tell you that the Bible is chock full of miracle stories and would associate some degree of magic with them, what do we do with Spong's statement that he opens that thesis Bible with? Well, let's start with the reality that the Bible actually isn't chock to the brim with miracle stories. As Spong points out, the miracle stories are actually mostly limited to three sets of people throughout the Christian Bible. The first two sets are in the Hebrew Bible, Moses and his successor Joshua, and then Elijah and his protege Elisha. Pre them, not so many miracles. After them, not so many miracles. Which brings us to the Christian Testament and the miracles that we are probably most familiar with, those performed by Jesus and a few of his successors, the disciples. What's important to note here is that these are some of the pillars of our faith. These are folks that in the storytelling are meant to be understood as larger than life. And not only that, the recording of their lives only happened after being passed down verbally for quite some time. Even though the Gospels come first in the New Testament, they are not the first recordings about Jesus. As a matter of fact, most of the places where Jesus is referred to in the rest of the New Testament after the Gospels actually predates, that writing predates the writings that happen in the Gospels. And an intriguing reality is that those that were the first writings about Jesus, they just don't mention Jesus doing miracles. It's a bit odd, isn't it? I mean, if the person that you're following, forming your religion around, is capable of actual miracles, don't you think you'd probably mention it from time to time? I think you do. Obviously, if you look to modern Christians who believe that Jesus performed miracles, their answer to that question is yes, of course they do. But our earliest recordings of Jesus simply do not. They definitely seem to be late additions that speak of any type of miracle making. Additions at which point Jesus was already a figure that needed to be told about how important he was. Even more curious is that the miracles that were ultimately credited to Jesus are remarkably similar to the miracles that were credited to Elijah and Elisha. And the miracles that were credited to Elijah and Elisha were remarkably similar to the miracles that were credited to Moses and Joseph. So it begs the question, what is going on here? As Spong points out, it's important to understand that in the Jewish tradition, these miracles were meant to be understood as Spong put it, expressing the reality of an invasive supernatural power designed to meet human needs. They were never, he says, they were never intended to be supernatural stories of divine power operating through a human life. And he goes on to say, perhaps we've been defending an idea that even the biblical authors didn't intend. As Darren Brown tells us, the stories we tell ourselves are powerful. It stands to reason, then, that stories as important as biblical stories are all the more powerful. And for that matter, the stories of the largest heroes are probably particularly important. Important enough to tell them in a way that clearly communicates how much larger than life they were. important enough to even add symbolic meaning to them to ensure that we do not underestimate their importance in our religious heritage. I find Spahn's conclusion to this section of his final book particularly strong, and we'd like to include his words here. He says, after centuries of laboring to understand stories that made no sense to us, we now discover that the problem was that we did not know how to read those stories. With this insight, our ability to chart the new Reformation has passed another huge obstacle. And he goes on to remind us that the miracles were meant as interpreted signs, not literally. So, does that mean there's no such thing as miracles? I actually want to share an answer with you from one of you. During our feedback time a few years ago, one of you mentioned the miracle of the rescue in the Thai cave. You talk about being amazed at the sheer number of people that had come together to make that rescue happen. That was the miracle for her when she mentioned it. The coming together of so many communities with a focus on rescuing those boys. And in many ways, I have to agree, it's also a powerful real-life story. I do see it as a miracle of sorts, but ultimately, I'm with Albert Einstein on this. Say it, go with Albert Einstein if you're ever in doubt. Go with what he says. Who said this? There are only two ways to live your life. One as though nothing is a miracle. And one, as though everything is a miracle. I tend to lean towards the everything. After all, everything we experience is part of our stories. And as we have heard, stories are powerful.
It's not going to happen very often that you're going to get to hear a song from Queen. I would never do it without that. It's called The Miracle by
Go figure.
Every drop of rain that falls in the Sahara Desert says it all. It's a miracle. All you love can break and fall. The golden hate and the time of all. It's a miracle. Yes,
one day you'll see when you're all we
mentioned before that over time, prayer has changed. My understanding of prayer has changed. And I imagine each of us are on our own journeys there. So I always try to say before we enter in this part of our service, just accept this in the way that's best for you. If you want to hear it as a prayer, please take it on as a prayer. If you want to use it as a moment to meditate, do so. Or just wait for words that mean something and connect with you in a way that you need right now. And grab hold of those and reflect on them. Let us bow our heads together. The creation which surrounds us is full of energy and potential, constantly blooming with new life and new opportunities. Plopped in the middle of this great creation, we humans too frequently find ourselves doing things and creating things which run counter to the life-giving energy of the world which surrounds us. We wield weapons of mass destruction. We thoughtlessly strip the world of its resources and beauty. We hoard up things that were never ours. Even worse, too frequently, we become far too adept at stripping away the simple joys of life. We allow life to be more about competition and less about collaboration. More about judgment and less about gentleness. More about differences and less about common ground. More about taking life and less about sharing it. May we begin to see more clearly the value in all life, the everyday miracles that surround us. May we begin to share more abundantly. May we begin to seek out and embrace those who struggle. And may we be open to the love, the care, the embrace of those who offer the same to us. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may your life know love and happiness throughout it. And may your words and your actions share that love and happiness with all of those you need.
Waiting for me. Shuffle for a dollar, scuffle for a dime. Hold on to the past and try and hold the line. So how can history take such a long, long time? When you're waiting for a, when you're waiting for a miracle. You rub your palm on the grimy pane in the hopes that you can see. You stand up proud, you pretend you're strong in the hopes that you can be. Like the ones who cried, like the ones who died, trying to set the angel in us free. Are you waiting for a, waiting for a, why you waiting for a miracle? Why you waiting for a, waiting for a, why you waiting for a miracle? Why you waiting for a, waiting for a, why you waiting for a miracle?